Now it's time for the Flight by Yingling post-game show. It's brought to you by Flight by Yingling. Just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
It's brought to you in part by Tickets for Less. TicketsForLess.com has the best selection of Chiefs tickets and parking passes for each home game this season. Tickets for Less, proud partner of the Chiefs Radio Network.
Tune in Mondays, starting at 6, for the Chiefs Kingdom Show with Mitch Holtis. And don't miss Players Only with Dan and Hughes every Thursday at 6. All right here on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Here is Joshua Briscoe.
The game ended a lot more easily for the Kansas City Chiefs than it began, but we'll take that final score every time. Kansas City Chiefs 28, Washington Commanders 7. The Chiefs victorious, rising to 5-3 on the year. Let's talk about it now with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, joining us now live from GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Mitch, I'm not sure what the vibes were like at halftime, either in the booth or on the sidelines, but the second half, that was Chiefs football that we've seen these last 2 weeks.
Well, this team has grown so much, and we know getting Xavier Worthy back from injury and then Rashi Rice joining the party, we understand what all that means, and we've seen it. But this team has also grown mentally and emotionally in toughness because they handled something that could have been very similar to the Jacksonville game. This team offensively really started about halftime of the New York Giant game. Outside of possession 4 and possession 5 of the Jacksonville game, this offense is hummed. But there was adversity in the Jacksonville game in both sides of the ball and all the penalties, special teams. Well, that was a similar feeling in the first half of this game. Two interceptions to start the game in the first two drives. And a team that the Chiefs were number one in the NFL in fewest giveaways. But then they kept their poise. This team has grown a lot mentally and emotionally to the point where they just destroyed Washington in the second half. And it could have been a game, but the Chiefs just took the game and ran with it.
And that's such an important thing for teams to be able to access, especially when you start thinking about these playoff games. You're going to end up tied at halftime. You're going to end up with a frustrating game against a team who you should be better than. But the margins are so small in the NFL right now. That to me, what you just laid out there, that's my top takeaway, because you did see the Chiefs come out in a tight game that was tenuous. They came out and they put their foot down.
Well, Bernie Haney does a great job with our stats. He's gone to another level. In the fact that the first three second-half possessions, the Chiefs' first half, let's go back to what the Chiefs did. Mahomes was 8 of 15, 89 yards in the first half and two interceptions. So you'd think, man, this is going to be rough. Are the Chiefs going to lose? Did they look past the Commanders? Blah, blah, blah. Second half, Mahomes 17 of 19, 205, three touchdowns. Overall, in the first three second-half possessions, which were all touchdowns, Joshua, the Chiefs ran 39 plays, 250 yards, 15 first downs, and three touchdowns. So the second half looked like the entire game against the Raiders, where, again, the Commanders came to play. The Commanders pushed really hard in the first half, but the Chiefs handled it, stayed poised, and took care of business in the second half, and then ended up routing these guys in the second half.
I know it's easy to end up stuck. I'm as guilty as anybody going to the offense over and over. You've got maybe the two best players at their position, at least in modern history in this game. Andy Reid calling the plays. The offense is fun, but the defense has really held up. And again, that first half, that was up and down. You have possessions that are ending with neither punts nor points. It was very strange that way. But what can you say about what the defensive effort has been under Steve Spagnuolo? Again, through these last 3 weeks, it's what, 24 points now, I think, in three games?
Yeah, and I'm going to give you the biggest stat of the night, in my opinion. Of all the stats we've given, I'm going to give you the biggest stat. Now, we could give props offensively, where Kelce ties Priest Holmes tonight with 83 touchdowns for the most in Kansas City Chiefs history. But the Washington Commanders had gone 24 straight games and scored 17 or more points. I was talking to the Commander folks before the game, and they're going, "We feel like we can score. Maybe we can't get enough, but we're going to score." They get 7 in this game. Now, keep in mind, in the first half, in their first three possessions for the Commanders, they had 22 plays, 128 yards, but Joshua, 15 of the 22 were in Chiefs territory. They got no points out of those three possessions. And so the Chiefs were able to get their own interception off a deflection. But then they were able to get a hold on downs on two straight possessions in their Chiefs in their own territory. So defensively, have a good point. Second half defense, the Chiefs defensively. Bernie Haney's just coming strong here. 19 plays by the Commanders, 66 yards. That's 3.5 per play. 4 first downs, and 3 punts and 1 possession. So. Again, as dominant as the Chiefs were in the offense, offensively in the second half, the Chiefs' defense was that way too. But when it was tough in the first half, the Chiefs' defense did not let Washington score. It was the longest streak in the NFL, 24 straight games. You're talking a year and a half where the Commanders scored at least 17 points and they get 7 tonight.
It's a team effort, as it always needs to be, but you're 100% right. The defense not giving the Commanders any room to breathe. The offense comes in the second half and handles their side of it all. Mitch, I'm taking a look at the schedule here. It seems like we got another big one in about 6 days. So enjoy the short week, and we'll do this again in Buffalo.
It's actually Monday and Tuesday tomorrow. It actually starts at what, midnight tonight. I don't know where we're at. Is it, I don't know, 10:15? We're going to enjoy this for, 20 minutes and then push on. So, yeah, it's Buffalo week, baby, and don't even look at November. I started the game. I go, don't peek. Don't look at it, because 3 of the 4 opponents in November had 120 total points yesterday. It's on. But let's go. The Chiefs right now are as hot as anybody in this league, winning 4 out of 5.
That's what you do it for, and that's the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, with us here on the Chiefs Radio Network. It really is crazy to think back to how this season began with the Chiefs at 0-2, with that loss to the Jags. Now, 5-3 with the Bills on the horizon doesn't feel too bad, all things considered. Hey, Mitch and the stats crew started to do my job for me as I give you our stat of the game, brought to you by Graybar, your distributor for electrical, data communication, and industrial products. From Matt McMullen, this was right out of the first couple drives of that second half. Mahomes was 10 of 11 for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns on those 2 scoring drives. And I'll expand it again. Like Mitch was telling you, the second half stat lines for Patrick Mahomes are unbelievable. 17 for 19 for 210, 3 touchdowns. And by the end there, they weren't really trying to score. They were trying to move the ball enough to burn some clock, get out of there healthy, and start getting ready for Buffalo. A really fun second half. Overall, a game you'll take 100 times out of 100. Now let's hear from one of the men who helped get it done on the defensive side. A nice effort tonight from George Karlaftis. Josh Klinger caught up with him on the field.
All right, what was the message at halftime? Close game, and then you guys just kind of slammed the door.
It was just to keep finishing, you know, just keep doing our responsibility and hone into what we do.
Okay, bro.
Hey,
okay,
great
bro.
Job, man. Stay hell of a player. Stay healthy. Just keep what we're doing. Keep on doing what we're doing. Just be on the details. That's what it was.
A sack tonight. A pass defended. Tackle for loss. Felt like you were very, very active.
Yeah, you know, just we have a group of guys that don't care about who gets the credit. So I just love being a part of this defense, man.
What were the challenges with this offense tonight? Got a couple of receivers back, mobile quarterback. What are the things that were on your plate?
You hit the nail on the head. They got a mobile quarterback. They got receivers. They got running backs that are great players. It always stops. It always starts with stopping the run for us and just going from there. So
I know you guys want to put stops together, and it's a team effort. But as soon as that offense then starts to put points on the board, how does that got to get you guys going too?
It feels great, you know, just feeding off of each other and playing complete offense, defense, special teams. So,
all right, best of luck in Buffalo. We finally get that Buffalo game again.
Absolutely, can't wait. Thank you, man.
All right, that's George Karlaftis. Josh, back to you.
Thank you, Josh, and a good effort there from George Karlaftis. We're going to have plenty to talk about and plenty to hear from as tonight's show rolls on. Tonight's postgame report is powered by Flight by Yingling. Just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. We'll take our first time out, come back, and we will take a little bit of a look at a couple things that happened yesterday, specifically what the Denver Broncos are going through right now. A lot of good news for them in the standings, but some bad news for the Broncos on the injury front. We'll talk about that and some other takeaways from Chiefs Command next here on the Chiefs Radio Network. Welcome back into the Chiefs Radio Network post-game show. I'm Joshua Briscoe. We'll take a quick look at a couple of yesterday's scores because we need to keep an eye on what's going on in the AFC West. It's brought to you by Crown Royal. Take a water break and moderate your drinking. Stay hydrated, stay royal. Crown Royal Canadian Whiskey. The biggest result from yesterday was the Broncos beating the Dallas Cowboys and thumping them 44-24. The Broncos are now 6-2. They still have a game up over the Chiefs, but we got this report tonight from Adam Schefter of ESPN. He wrote on social media, Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain II is expected to be a candidate to be placed on injured reserve due to his pectoral injury he suffered Sunday. Denver's next four games are at Houston, the Raiders, the Chiefs, and at Washington. So we'll keep an ear to that because if he does, of course, if he is placed on injured reserve, he will not play in that game against the Chiefs in just a little while. Some interesting scheduling things as the Broncos are getting up to a mini bye off Thursday Night Football against the Chiefs for that game. The Chiefs will be coming off of their full bye there. So we'll be looking ahead to that, but like we just talked about, you can't peek too far because coming up next is the Buffalo Bills. Well, how about this from Adam Schefter today, where he noted that tests today confirmed that defensive tackle Ed Oliver has a torn biceps that will require surgery and sideline him indefinitely. So the Bills winning that game 40-9 was one thing, but losing Ed Oliver, not being on the field next week in Buffalo against the Chiefs, obviously a massive, massive deal there. One thing from this game today that I want to highlight before we roll on with the show, I think that's a quietly really nice day from the Chiefs running back room. Not the case in the first half. We talked about it during our halftime show here that Patrick Mahomes leading the team in rushing during the first half is not something you want to see throughout the entirety of the game. Well, let's go back to the second half offense when things were really humming. Isaiah Pacheco, 8 for 41. Kareem Hunt, 6 for 29. Hunt ends up with two scores on the day, one on the ground and one through the air, where he just caught that one pass for 2 yards and a score. That's a good day at the office. And that's all happening while Patrick Mahomes is playing some remarkable football in the second half of this game. I know we touched on it in the open, but I really do think the special thing about what the Chiefs did here tonight is that we all felt it at halftime, right? You maybe had that feeling in the pit of your stomach of, oh man, they had a very similar feeling game on Monday Night Football not very long ago at all, and they couldn't get it done. The question for the second half, and man, I hope we get to hear from Andy Reid on a little bit of what halftime was like. I don't think it needed to be a scream and shout halftime, what are you doing out there? But clearly the Chiefs were not firing on all cylinders offensively. They come out in the second half looking like a totally rejuvenated team. But altogether, you get this kind of performance from Mahomes, a nice day on the ground where the team altogether runs for nearly 150 yards. Mahomes passed for nearly 300, by the way. 299 through the air from Mahomes, 148 on the ground from the entire rushing attack. No single bell cow, and one really nice play from Breshard Smith got wiped out due to a penalty. That's a running back by committee that might be starting to hit its stride a little bit here, with, of course, a very important game against Buffalo just around the corner. It's always going to be a lot of moving parts, but again, like I was saying, the most impressive part of this game today is that the vibes were shifting one direction. Halftime, you failed to score right before the half, and just like we talked about at the Jags game at halftime, and then got better news around the last 2 weeks against the Lions and Raiders, double dipping around the half. Can you come out in the second half getting the football? Can you start fast? If you do that, that's why you defer to start the game. Win the toss, defer to the second half, because you have a chance to come out of halftime and put points on the board. The Chiefs did that tonight in what I think was a really, really impressive way, and something that's got to fill you with even more confidence as this team not only keeps winning, but keeps finding ways to win in some slightly different forms, of course, always circling around Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of nearly hitting the counting numbers we love, Travis Kelce ends the night with 6 catches for 99 yards, Rashee Rice 9 for 93. So no 100-yard receiver. Mahomes doesn't quite hit 300. Not even a 60-yard rusher. None of those non-round numbers should do anything to dull your excitement from an excellent Chiefs win with a nearly flawless, not quite, it's never flawless, but a nearly flawless second half. That's a big win for a Chiefs team. Got another big game coming around the corner just 6 days from now. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll either hear from Andy Reid or some other members of the Kansas City Chiefs. Plenty to talk about, plenty of guys to hear from coming up next right here on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Mitch Holtis joins Fesco and Dusty every Friday at 7:30, 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back into the Chiefs Radio Network postgame show. Tonight's postgame report is powered by Flight by Yingling. Just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Another nice game for Rashee Rice and another score. 2 games back three times in the end zone, you'll take that from number four every time you can. Like I said, 9 receptions, 93 yards, the score through the air, nearly had one of his own on the ground on that wildcat snap. I think there's a reason the Chiefs are showing that midway through the regular season. We might see that again. We might see some different versions of that again down the line, but that is for another day. You know what? I said that Rashee Rice didn't, of course, end up with 100 yards receiving. He was over 100 yards from scrimmage, though. 12 on the ground, 93 through the air. Let's hear from Rashee Rice right now, catching up with our own Josh Klingler.
Three straight scores out of halftime, and what was a tie game? What was the message at half, and how'd you guys turn it on after halftime?
Just to focus on small details, go back to, you know, what's been working. Nothing out of the ordinary, just going back to our base plays and, you know, focusing on the basically, like I said, the small details and going back out there and executing.
I mean, it had to feel like you did move the ball in the first half, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was probably plenty of positives other than not getting in the end zone.
Yeah, of course. You know, you're not always going to get in the end zone. I would say every time we did move the ball, someone on the team got in the end zone because, you know, EGE, everybody got to eat, so everybody ate today.
You almost had a rushing touchdown. Did you feel like that one was in?
100%. I do feel like that was in. I'm going to watch the play again to see if it was in. You know, I wasn't too upset because Reen got to score the next play, but if we didn't score on that drive at all, it would have upset me a little bit more, yeah, to be honest.
As much as everybody's got to eat, I think Kareem probably owes you one, right?
Yeah, he owed me one. It's cool. You know, we got another game, short week, and another game coming up soon, so hopefully I can get in that backfield and get another rushing touchdown.
All right, how do you feel here a couple weeks now, a couple games under your belt in short order, jumping back in the mix? Where do you think you're at?
Back to normal, honestly. Only thing's been in the way of me getting back on the field is time. So I'm back to doing what I love to do, back to trying to be the best on the field at all times. So as long as we're executing and 1-5 trust ups with the ball in our hands, we're going to be a full offense.
Sure seems like that we've only seen just a smidge of what's there for you as well, lining up in the backfield, doing all kinds of things. Are we just scratch the surface of the stuff they have for you specifically?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Coach Reed got a lot of stuff drawn up, you know, in that book. Wherever he feels like he should put me, you know, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do the best I can do at whatever position he wants me to do, even if it's just selling the fake or actually getting the ball.
Congratulations on the win. On to Buffalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that's Rashee Rice. Joshua, back to you.
Appreciate it, Josh. Good stuff there with Kling and Rashee Rice. One thing that dawned on me there is, as Rashee was saying, you know, the only thing that's been keeping him back right now is time, or whatever, however he phrased it there. Obviously, he played in the preseason. He looked good in training camp, and it was the suspension that held him out through 6 weeks. But one thing I'll just mention now, and if you're superstitious, I just knocked on wood for you, but Rashee Rice's knee has just not been a factor. And again, it looked that way in camp and in the preseason and all that. I think we had cause for optimism and that those extra 6 weeks might be even a little bit more time for him to fully get back to 100% there after the season-ending injury early last season. All of that to say, simply not a factor here, and another incredibly productive day for a guy who didn't even lead them in receiving tonight, because again, that was Kelce with his 99 yards. Really excited to see what the rest of the season holds for Rashee Rice, and he's right. Andy Reid has a lot of creativity that he can bring in to this offense. Maybe he has some creativity for Danan Hughes. Here's Andy Reid in his exclusive conversation with Danan.
All right, here with head coach Andy Reid. Coach, congratulations. Another big win. Three straight home games and three straight wins.
Yeah, it's great to play here at Arrowhead. I mean, our fans are unbelievable, and, you know, we appreciate that. Anyways, yeah, it was good. Good
evening. The game started off action-packed, but had you ever been a part of a game where each team got into the other on the other side of the field, but no points were had?
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird deal. Turnovers and, you know, I mean, there were no punts in the first half, and yet, you know, we had no score. Very interesting that way.
Now, from a defensive perspective, they were moving the ball a little efficiently in the first half. That no-huddle kind of tempo offense, what kind of challenge did that present to you guys?
Yeah, well, first I thought the officials did a good job of managing it because that's tough to manage. So we were able to get our substitutions in. But, yeah, it can be tough that way. They do a nice job with it, and they've got a good scheme. And Mariota, listen, he's a good quarterback, mm-hmm. and he had his two guys back. That was one heck of a catch by 17, by the way.
Yeah. So coming out hot in the second half, I mean, it seems like that's been a staple of you guys' success is the halftime adjustments. But hot is kind of an understatement when you're scoring on just about every possession.
Yeah, it was both ways. I mean, it was defense shut them out and did a nice job, and then offense was able to put some points on and score. Not good if you're a punter, but but it's good otherwise, you know, for both sides.
Coach, you have 7 straight 100-yard-plus rushing games, 5 straight games of 28-plus points. How big is that?
Yeah, the backs ran hard. Pat did a nice job, too, when he had an opportunity. And, yeah, that's great. I mean, the main thing is a win. I mean, the stats are great. Points becoming the important thing, and you got to maintain that as you go. So we were able to put 28 points up against a real good defense, and especially that defensive front. I think they're very good. So we were able to get that done. And I thought Nags had a great game plan for him, and the guys executed.
Coach, you're a grandfather. I'm a grandfather. When I talk to my kids and grandkids, I say I'm not old. I'm seasoned. Well, you got a guy out there, number 87, who's seasoned, who just tied Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns in Chiefs history. How big is that for somebody of his stature?
Yeah, you know, he needs to get busy, get married, and have some kids so he can join us. But he's a great one. He does a heck of a job, and you know, we're lucky to have him. We've had some great tight ends here over the years, as you know, with the Chiefs, and for this guy to do what he's done, he's an amazing guy. He loves to play. I mean, he loves it today as much as he did when he was a rookie. So I appreciate that.
Congratulations, Coach.
All right, Dan, appreciate it.
Plenty of years between those two, but I'm not using the O word to describe either Dannon Hughes nor Andy Reid nor Travis Kelce, for that matter. A incredible day for the future Hall of Famer. Let's go ahead and hear our offensive play of the game. It's brought to you by Helzberg, your hometown jeweler serving Chiefs Kingdom since 1915.
Mahomes in the pocket, pump faking, twice, throws it late, caught, left side, Rice, angling, touchdown, Kansas City, an 18-yard touchdown pass.
Another great day through the air, another great day from Patrick Mahomes. We'll hear from the Chiefs signal caller next, right here on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Dannon Hughes joins Cody and Gold, Thursdays at 11, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Tonight's postgame report is powered by Flight by Yingling. Just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. It'll be a few more minutes before we hear from Patrick Mahomes live from the podium at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. But right now, let's go ahead and hear from one of the young members of this offensive line. Obviously, Trey Smith out for this game. Josh Simmons been out for a little while now. We've seen a lot of progress from young Kingsley Suamataia. Excited to hear from him as Josh Klingler caught up with Kingsley after the game.
All right, a 7-7 ball game at halftime. You guys came out and scored 3 straight drives. What was the difference in putting points on the board there?
Just coming up and regrouping. First half was 7-7. We had a comeback game, regroup, and we just come together as one, and that's what we did and showed out this second half. So we closed out the game. So yeah,
running the football, big numbers running the football. I know it's a prideful thing for an offensive line to see this team getting some success. It looks like you're kind of building momentum in the run game. In addition, obviously, what you're doing fantastically in the pass game, but how much pride is there when you get the run game going alongside?
Oh, most definitely. Everybody got to eat, so we got amazing backs in the backfield, so we got to block on those guys in the front so they can get going. So they're special players, so once they get out in space, man, they're going to do their stuff.
You guys have had to replace a couple guys along this offensive line, yet keep going. Is that a testament to what this room is?
Most definitely, man. It next man up. And, you know, you've seen it. J-Mo, Mike Caliendo came out. They both balled. And just grateful to have them. You know, we all trust each other. We had a lot of trust in all of them. So just appreciate them serving up and doing their part.
All right, not quite to the halfway point yet, but where do you think you are in your development this season? Obviously, you were asked to do some different things this year. How are you feeling? Kind of where are you at?
I feel good. Just trying to get better and keep improving each game. And just finishing from whistle to whistle. And, yeah, this is going great.
What was the difference for you, maybe tackle the guard, and what have you had to do differently? What did you have to pick up? What would you say maybe was the toughest part of that?
Just seeing things when you're in the three-point stance the whole game, honestly. But when you got Creed and you got amazing tackles playing next to you, they make their job a lot easier. So just trusting them and trusting what we see out there and doing our job.
All right, get some rest. Short week on to Buffalo.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right, that's Kingsley Suamataia. Joshua, back to you in the studio.
Appreciate it, Kling. Really, I don't want to call it too soon here on Kingsley, but it feels like almost the best-case scenario of his second year in the league it at least would start about this way. I think he's been at least good since starting at guard this season. Obviously, he had his struggles as a rookie. But what we've seen from him this year, it seems about as linear as you could ask for in terms of week after week, improvement after improvement. And Mitch and Danan, I think, mentioned this a couple weeks in a row at least now. They've mentioned this on the broadcast during the game. You get Kingsley with a little bit of energy, a little bit of swagger back as a guy who can just be this incredible athlete at the position, such a mauler, so good on his feet. Obviously, last year, things didn't go the way you wanted it to, and he couldn't lock down that left tackle spot. And obviously, Simmons looked very good there this year, and Jalen Moore's done a nice job in Simmons' absence. But for Kingsley to be able to turn into what we've seen right now, and I don't use this word lightly, a weapon in the running game, that's one of the best things that an offensive lineman can bring. Obviously, Trey Smith, the other guard, out tonight, knows a whole lot about being a weapon on the ground. But I also, you know, and I don't want to call it again either, just live during the first watch of the game, but it's been a little while since I've seen Kingsley lose a pass protection snap, at least quickly enough to totally uproot the play. And that's kind of the idea, right? You die a slow death as an offensive lineman. You're never going to be able to win every rep to the whistle. I've been really, really impressed by Kingsley this year. He is not a rookie, but I have been impressed by one of the rookie members of the rookie class. And our rookie report is brought to you by Main Street Credit Union. Even if you're a rookie when it comes to finances, Main Street Credit Union will get you in the game. Go to mainstreetcu.org. Frankly, a lot of the rookies here tonight either weren't active or didn't get a whole lot going on. Obviously, Josh Simmons inactive. Omar Norman Lott, unfortunately, to IR. Saw a little bit defensively of Ashton Gelati, Noel Williams, Jeffrey Bassa on special teams. Jalen Royals was a healthy scratch for this game, which I think almost by default on the offensive side, at least, makes Breshard Smith the rookie to look at here. And his stat line is not going to jump off the screen to you here. I think that's perfectly fine. Weirdly, he didn't end up with an official target in this game as he's gotten more and more involved in the passing game. He did have 3 carries for 8 yards, and I think the best play of his game ended up being wiped out by a penalty when you started to see a little bit more of what he could do. I remain very optimistic about Breshard Smith and whatever format it takes. Let's go now out to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium as Patrick Mahomes is live at the podium.
Yeah, no, the first read was to Trav. On a little out and up, and he kind of got collisioned on the route, which I thought he probably would have won, got collisioned. But we had talked about all week. I told him just to be patient. I was like, be patient. I'm going to be looking the way, but I think you're going to be open. So just be in the spot, and he was the perfect spot at the right time and was able to push up in the pocket and make the throw to him, and then he got in the end zone.
Patrick, it looked pretty important to you to get that touchdown ball for Travis. Can you just describe the meaning of that and his night?
Yeah, I mean, I said it at the end on the broadcast. I mean, he's just like the true Chiefs chief. I mean, he is the guy that's been here through the whole thing, been here with Coach Reed the entire time, and helped set the culture. You know, he helped set the culture of what it means and to play for Coach Reed and to play in Kansas City, and I was able to come in and have that guy to rely on. And so he's breaking all the records now, and he's all about the team, so I want to make sure he gets that, and hopefully we can get another football for him later in the season when he actually breaks the record.
And what's it like in that moment when he has the deflection early? I mean, is that even something you talk to him about? You know him so well by now? I mean, how does that go?
Nah, I mean, that stuff happens. It's just like I threw an interception earlier in the game. You got to move on from mistakes. And they were able to make plays in that first half, but luckily for us, our defense stepped up, and it's a full team. I mean, the defense steps up whenever we're struggling, and we're able to go out there and put up points in that second half, and that speaks to the grit that we have as a football team.
Responding, Patrick, how were you guys able to score 21 unanswered points there coming out of halftime?
Yeah, when we got in the locker room, we just talked about executing. You know, like sometimes you want to press and make stuff happen, especially on a big game like Monday Night Football. And we weren't doing that. They had more energy than we did. Their defense versus our offense, and so we had to match their energy and execute at a higher level. And we were able to do that in that second half and start off that first drive, and then we kind of continue that momentum through the rest of the second half.
The defense keeping you in the early struggles. That's kind of been a theme. Both sides really playing well. I guess what does it mean to have such a complete effort? You know, for several games in a row.
Yeah, I think it shows the growth that we've had as a team. You know, offense, defense, and special teams, I think we're getting better and better in each and every week. And even though we didn't start the way we wanted to today offensively, it showed that we can battle through adversity and still continue to play the brand of football that we want to play. And We'll have to continue to get better and better. This will be a great challenge this next week, and we'll have to start faster. But I was proud of how the guys responded in that second half.
You're still scoreless. You guys had fourth and goal. Didn't look like you were coming off the field. Can you just take me through that sequence? And
well, they let me know in the helmet that we had two plays for it, and so that's just a communication that we have. Coach Reed, he believes in us to make those big plays in big moments, and then I think another thing that gets lost in this is he believes our defense is going to get the stop if it doesn't happen. So I mean, you got to have a belief in everybody, not just us offensively. And we were able to we didn't make it the first time, but we ran a play. They covered it well, and Kareem made a great job getting himself open there at the end.
Patrick, is it comforting for you? I know you talked about how much Travis sets the culture, but you're someone who's known to be creative and obviously break the play when it needs to be broken. Is it comforting to have someone like Kareem? That's obviously not his route for the touchdown, and it looks like Travis improvised his route on the touchdown as well. Is it comforting to know that guys are sort of helping you feed into your play style?
Yeah, I think just we've built this chemistry over there. I mean, obviously those two guys I play with a lot, but even with the receivers and with Noah and all these guys, is that we've been together for a little while now. You know, we had kind of been where we were kind of going in and out of guys and skilled players and stuff like that, but we have guys that have been here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is now, and so they have a good feel of kind of finding those open places. I think early in the game there was a couple opportunities I didn't hit, and so the guys to continue to work with me in that second half, I mean, we had a lot of big plays happen on kind of secondary type plays.
What does it say about the way the team's playing? You, fifth win, all of which have been by double digits or more. Last year, a lot of wins, great record, but the games were much closer. Does it feel like, as you kind of said earlier, it's starting to come together in all three phases in a way maybe last year it didn't quite, even though you were winning games?
Yeah, I mean, I know the record's not as good, but it's a lot more fun just when everybody's kind of going out there and making stuff happen. But I think we're getting better and better. You know, we lost some tough games early that we had won in previous years, but it's not like anyone hung their head. They just continue to get better and better, and that's all we.
All right, well, you know what? The Chiefs are good at recovering their own fumbles. We'll go ahead and scoop that one up right there as we've lost the connection out to the stadium. But there you go. You heard almost all there's going to be from Patrick Mahomes at the podium there. Another nice day for him. Another nice, really, the second half for the offense altogether. And the Chiefs appear to just be rolling. We're going to go back to the podium if it's there, or we'll go ahead and okay, we're gonna go ahead and call it. Look, this isn't Chiefs Raiders, but we're not getting the fourth quarter of Gardner Minshew or anything. That's what we got there from Patrick Mahomes live from the podium. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Have more to break down, more to look ahead to. That's coming up next on the Chiefs Radio Network.
The Chiefs Kingdom Show with Mitch Holtis airs Monday nights at 6 on 96.5 The Fan.
Now it's time to head to the podium and listen to Andy Reid's press conference. It's brought to you by GEHA. GEHA offers medical and dental benefits designed exclusively for federal employees and retirees, military retirees, and their families. Over 2 million of them every day. GEHA, proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. I'd like to thank the fans. They were great tonight. Wild as ever, they were lined up here. Last night when I went over to the hotel, they were lined up and barbecuing, and they were primed and ready to go by the time those gates opened. So I appreciate all their support. I thought our guys played again. A great second half. First half, we lacked a little bit, but second half we came around and both sides of the ball and special teams and did a nice job there. So a lot of individual accolades that can go out to, you know, to the guys. The main thing is we played as a team the second half. First half, just a little shaky, but took care of business there. Anyways, with that, time's yours. All two of you.
How much pressure does it take off your offense when things aren't maybe going great, when the defense continues to do what they do?
Yeah, no, it's a great thing. They complement each other, which is that's a positive. And you need, at this level, you need everybody. So, but they stay positive. That's a part I appreciate. And even when it's kind of up and down, they stay positive and create energy with that. And we were able to come around and make some plays both sides of the ball.
What impressed you most tonight about the defense? I mean, they were giving up a lot of yards, but they seemed to come through when they needed to on the fourth downs in the first half, and then second half really put it together.
Yeah, first half was weird. There wasn't a lot of punting going on either side, and there were no points on the board. So that normally doesn't go on. But those fourth downs were big. They do that. They're one of the more aggressive teams in the league, going for fourth down, and they were tonight. So we were able to stop them a couple times. I thought that was positive.
Travis was able to tie the all-time record in franchise. What does that mean to see him be able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a compliment to him. There have been some great tight ends here over the years. So for him to be able to do what he's done over this amount of time is great. And it's still, as you guys know, you come out to practice, you see that energy. He's got energy every day, and he's not the youngest guy. So he just goes and goes.
How'd you feel like Rasheed took another step tonight as he returned?
I thought he did good. If you get rid of that little deal at the end, you know, he loves to play, and he's so competitive. But I love the way he goes about it. He works his tail off, and then he's so physical out there. He's like having another running back as a wide receiver. So.
Back to Travis real quick. He obviously had that the second time he's had a kind of a tip ball, goes for an interception. But he responded, you know, really well, obviously. Does that surprise you at all that he was, you know, that he had the mental toughness to kind of stick it out and make a big impact?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, those things happen, and, you know, the main thing he didn't do was hang his head on it. He was mad at himself, but he works through those things. And nothing like getting another catch. So you get another catch, and you kind of erase that. He had some big ones there, so a lot of production.
Did you go to him on purpose on that third down? Did you drop the play the very next third down too? Because the next third down, he got it for the conversion there.
Yeah, so Matt does that, and I thought he did a nice job getting him back involved. So, yeah, it was great. Good for Pat. You have a quarterback that's willing to go back to the guy too. So a lot of quarterbacks will shy away from that if they've had a bad play. He goes right back to it.
The first half you mentioned was weird. Get out of 7-7, then come out and Washington shut out. You put up three long scoring drives, put the game out of reach. What does it say about the team as a whole to be able to just kind of extend the lead quickly after a year last year where really that didn't happen very often? Usually break tight game. This is now the fifth double digit one, I believe you guys are up.
Yeah, so it's tough to score points in this league. So any that you get, you appreciate. I like the way the guys went about it. You're going to need mental toughness when you play in this league. There's so much parity, and you've got to fight through some of the highs and lows and continue. Even with the good plays, you got to make sure that you're bringing a fastball the next play. So I appreciate the effort in doing that. It's a positive.
Do you guys make any adjustments at halftime coming out with offense or defense where you felt like maybe you had to change something at the break, or was it just about cleaning up some mistakes, making a tweak?
Yeah, so we always talk and go through what we'd like to do, but there are adjustments that are made, sure.
Coach Reed, you mentioned the first half was weird. Do you remember any games that you've been a part of where the first five drives all ended in turnovers?
No, I don't. I mean, I can't tell you that. That was weird. Yeah.
You guys have tapped Mike Dana for a long time. I guess what does it mean to have the night that he did with the interception?
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. That was a big play there. So one of those turnovers when they were driving the field and he comes in. And he made it look easy, but that's not an easy thing to do. And then he had a little yak after it, so he did pretty good. Yeah.
Real quick, Jalen Moore had a little bit of a sluggish start. I think he got bull rushed a couple times into Patrick's lap, but really ironed some things out. Was there anything to that? Any conversation you guys had?
Yeah, well, Dan's got a good defensive front there. Tapp's done a nice job with that crew, coaching them up. And so, and I think he came in and probably a little cautious right at the beginning there, and then he just tuned it up. So, but you got to give them credit. They've got a good front. Yeah.
Last one, Todd. In the running game, continues to look like it's improving with both your running back and three running backs and Patrick too. What's working well for you guys there?
Well, it starts up front, and then Pop is getting into a groove, and then Kareem, when he has an opportunity to get in there and go, he goes, and he's a jump starter, so he doesn't need a whole lot of carries before he gets going. And then, you know, we've added 24 into the mix and tried to get him, just a few plays a game, and he's responded to that. And I should have had one taken away from him. That was a pretty good run there. So, I should have told you the injuries, because Pop's one of those. Hurt his knee, and Bolton likewise hurt his knee. So we'll just see how they do as we go forward here.
All right, so we'll find out a little more about those injuries down the line, but that was Andy Reid's post-game press conference right here on the Chiefs Radio Network. And our interviews tonight are brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Play e-instant and jackpot games for a chance to win real cash prizes. Download the Kansas Lottery Play On app and let's play. Let's get right over to the MVP of tonight's game. Look, we could give it to Patrick Mahomes every week. The Chiefs defense certainly did their part. But when it was all said and done, one man was just barely at the top of the box score in terms of Chiefs pass catchers. Travis Kelce ends the night with 6 catches for 99 yards and a score on unofficially maybe a National Tight Ends Day. Belated National Tight Ends Day. That gets it done for number 87. And today's MVP of the game is presented by John Deere. Whether on the sidelines or on your property, our Gator utility vehicles are ready for game day action. Visit johndeere.com to learn more.
Mahomes takes the snap in his left knee, keeping the feet alive. Sings it late for the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! And Travis Kelce with the catch now ties Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns in Kansas City Chiefs history. A 10-yard strike, and the Chiefs have that coveted second-half two-possession lead.
They got the two-possession lead. They got a little history for a man who's been rewriting it. We'll hear from one of his understudies when we come back. Noah Gray next here on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Welcome to your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Our Chiefs are pressuring Mariota. He's sacked! And down he goes, Mike Dana with the sack. He had the interception to start the game. And now he sacks Mariota all the way back at midfield. A loss of 9.
When the Kansas City Chiefs get a sack, you score the next day with a buy one, get one free Big Mac at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. 2 sacks on the day of Marcus Mariota. I don't know if anybody had a better day than Mike Dana. You get an interception off of Deebo Samuel's face mask as a pass rusher. You have that sack there, which was a heck of an effort for him to break down and keep Mariota wrangled up. Somebody probably should have blocked him, but hey, that's not my job. That's not Mike Dana's job. What is his job is to bring down the quarterback. Maybe your job is to get out there so you can be there and be a part of the action. Well, Tickets for Less has the lowest prices on Chiefs tickets and parking passes for every home game. Save big with promo code CHIEFSRADIO on your next order. Every seat holds a story. Find yours at ticketsforless.com. I teased it before the break. Want to hear from a guy who was a nice part of the offense, and a few targets went his way, a couple targets, I guess, went his way that didn't quite connect. But ultimately, 2 catches for 23 yards on 4 targets, and that one deep shot down the field. Not sure if Mahomes overshot it or if Gray maybe broke a little bit too far to the sidelines when Mahomes wanted him to straighten it out. But either way, a couple of those big plays were there. Once again, a huge facet of the team doing a bunch of the dirty work. Let's go ahead and hear from Noah Gray as Dan and Hughes caught up with him after the game.
All right, we're here with Noah Gray. Noah, another big win. Offensive, great production. Defense shut down on prime time. How Hughes is that?
It's great. Very encouraging. The guys did a great job coming out here and executing the game plan and playing well and playing hard, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Now, this is a big win, but it's also salute to service. I know you're affiliated, and that's something near and dear to your heart. What is it about that cause and this cause that the NFL has promoted that is huge for you?
They're the only reason we get to do what we do here. I thank the Lord for all our men and women that serve. I got family members, I have friends, I have, I just see the commitment and the dedication that these men and women pour into our country to allow us to be here, be free, and enjoy the things that we get to over here. And I just really, just really appreciate all the men and women that go overseas, that sacrifice time away from their families, that sacrifice their lives in every single way. And it's truly, truly something that I really can't put a whole lot more words to, but just so much appreciate everything that they mean to us.
Amen, man. I appreciate you guys and all your commitments within the Chiefs community. To this game, though, I mean, how big is it to get another win like this on this stage?
Yeah, it's huge. That was a great football team. Glad the guys came together and got this win. And, you know, we got another tough one coming up here on Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. And, yeah, we're going to get back to the drawing board and practice and doing everything we can to be the best team that we can be.
All right, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Good day for Noah Gray. Good day for the Chiefs offense. Chiefs fans, you can relive the team's historic journey to Super Bowl 59 during the 2024 season as told through unprecedented access to players, coaches, and staff, as well as learning about the organization's humble beginnings under Chiefs founder Lamar Hunt. Stream The Kingdom now on ESPN and Disney+. We've already talked a few times about what Mike Dana did in this game today. No question about it, he's our big beef defensive play of the game.
Mariota in the shotgun, wide receiver screen. That ball deflected, intercepted off of Deebo Samuel and picked off by Mike Dana, who gets his first career interception. The ball ricocheted off the shoulder pad of Deebo Samuel on an attempted wide receiver screen, and Mike Dana with the interception.
An incredible play for Mike Dana. Very, very high awareness in that moment, and he made the play. That's the Big Beef Defensive Play of the Game presented by MoBeef.org. 1 3-ounce serving of beef contains 10 essential nutrients and half your body's daily value of protein. Beef, it's what's for dinner. And it's what Mike Dana brought to the party there as the Chiefs had a shutout last week, 7 points against the Washington Commanders from the Washington Commanders this week. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to replay the highlights of what had the Chiefs collecting their 5th win of the season, 28-7 over the Washington Commanders. Don't miss what's next here on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Tune in to hear Mitch Holthus with CDOT every Monday at 4, 96.5 The Fan.
Now back to the post-game report.
NFL football. It's a fast game, fought hard 60 minutes, one play at a time. Relive it yard by yard now on Chiefs Replay. From the GEHA Sports Desk, here is Joshua Briscoe.
Let's take it from the top. The Chiefs won the toss and deferred, so the Commanders started the night with the football, leaving Luke McCaffrey to return the opening kickoff to the 43. 2 plays later, Washington was already across midfield. The Commanders converted a pair of third and shorts, and before you knew it, Washington was knocking on the door of the red zone. And before you knew it, the Chiefs took it back.
Mariota in the shotgun, wide receiver screen. That ball deflected, intercepted off of Deebo Samuel and picked off by Mike Dana, who gets his first career interception. The ball ricocheted off the shoulder pad of Deebo Samuel on an attempted wide receiver screen, and Mike Dana with the interception.
That was a huge drop-turned turnover by Deebo Samuel and Mike Dana. After a short run and a sack, the Chiefs faced 3rd and 11. Mahomes scrambled for 10.5, and after a timeout, the Chiefs went heavy with 7 offensive linemen.
Chiefs are 12 of 15 on 4th downs this year. They go to an offset eye. They're going to run a power play. Left side it goes. Kareem Hunt easily has the first down as he rams his way to his own 46, gaining 5. Noah Gray with a lead block and a power O block pulling inside by the Chiefs, and Kansas City converts on 4th and inches.
Noah Gray doing some dirty work. Kareem Hunt just moving the sticks. Then after one short run, Mahomes went big game hunting.
2nd and 9, play action fake. Mahomes works the near boundary. Worthy wide open at the 30 of the Commanders. Juke move stays in bounds and spins down to the 21 of Washington, saying they C-stepped out at the 26. But the Chiefs able to find a void in the Commanders' zone for 27 yards to Xavier Worthy.
Things were feeling pretty good, but then, unfortunately, on 3rd and 10, the Commanders' defense evened the score.
Creed Humphrey barks out a line call, snaps it back to Mahomes with some time. Left side throw and a comeback pattern, and it's intercepted. Intercepted on the far side by the Commanders at the 6-yard line by Marshawn Lattimore, the 4-time Pro Bowler.
Heck of a play by Lattimore, but that gave Washington the ball at the 7. They got right back into a groove after that, though. Big gains to McNichols and McCaffrey, picked up 41 total yards on 2 back-to-back plays before the defense answered on 3rd and 3.
Mariota, 3 wide. He got a single back cheating to his right. Taking the snap in the pocket. Here comes pressure. He'll scramble. He gets hit and goes down at the 40. That's a sack and a loss of 3. George Karlaftis with the sack.
It was 3rd and 3, they moved him back, but that was not enough to bring the punting unit onto the field, because on 4th and 6, the Commanders went for it. Mariota hit Ertz right to the first down marker, but after a virtual measurement, they were 5 inches short. That's what the measurement said, and the Chiefs took the ball back at the 35-yard line. Rashee Rice lost yards on a screen on first down before picking up 10 on second, setting up what would be a historic third and four.
Rice goes dancing into the right flat. Instead, they'll throw it right. Caught Juju Smith-Schuster first down. Got hit in the thigh. Needed four. He got five. The door hinge. Gets a first down, and now Patrick Mahomes is over 40,000 career passing yards. Only he and Peyton Manning did it in their first nine seasons in NFL history. Pat, in essence, did it in 7.5 years.
Truly remarkable. Not that you needed any more reminder of how remarkable Patrick Mahomes has been. You can never have too many. Although the emotional high there did not last very long, because two plays later, it was third and disaster.
Pressure by the Commanders, throw over the middle. It's deflected and intercepted in and out of the hands of Kelce. A second interception thrown in this game by Mahomes, but that was off the hands of Kelce. Bobby Wagner with the interception. His 14th career interception, but shades of the Philadelphia game. It looked like that was right in Kelce's hands.
Unofficially, Travis Kelce's second interception of the year. Washington got going instantly as tight end John Bates found himself wide open and picked up 22. Mariota scooted by Ashton Gelati for 8. After a snuffed out screen, the Commanders had third and short. Jaden Hicks made a great play to wrangle Zach Ertz for just 1, setting up fourth and shorter.
Mariota on fourth down and 1 takes the snap and wants to throw. Retreating, pump faking, and overthrows his receiver on the left side. And the Chiefs will take over on downs for the second time in as many drives.
5 drives, no points, no punts between those two teams. On this drive, Kelce started erasing that dropped turn interception. First, an 11-yard gain on 3rd and 2, then another deep ball.
Chiefs fake a handoff to Pacheco. Mahomes loads up with time, works the right side. It's caught and caught out of bounds, inbounds, but then pushed out of bounds by Kelce on an over route of 31 yards. And Mahomes with all kinds of time, drifting left, throwing all the way back to the right. Kelce back-to-back catches for 42 yards.
The Chiefs moved the chains with some old-school wing T trickery on second down before Kareem Hunt hammered through for the first on third down. We almost had a great touchdown with a wildcat direct snap to Rashee Rice that got within inches of the end zone, but the Chiefs still handled it on the next play.
Mahomes looks over to the sideline. He's got Kareem Hunt as his running back. No score in this game. 5:55 to go, first half. Kareem Hunt plows into the line. Touchdown, Kansas City! Kareem Hunt, money and short yardage as he gargles the sweet nectar of the end zone. And the Chiefs jump on top at 5:46 to go, second quarter.
Former K-State Wildcat Ben Sinnott got a rare catch and took it for 22 on the second play of Washington's next drive. Mariota shot a floater on 3rd and 5 for another big gain to McNichols. At the 2-minute warning, Washington held the ball at the 21-yard line. From there, Washington kept knocking, but the Chiefs' defense held. On 3rd and 10 from the 11, the Chiefs appeared to get yet another stop, but after a review, Terry McLaurin was awarded the touchdown to tie the game at 7-7 with just under a minute left in the half. The Chiefs started at the 15 after a holding penalty on the return. Mahomes scrambled on first down, hit Kelce on the next play, but had to burn their final timeout with 24 seconds left in the half, and ultimately ended the drive and the half with a penalty. The Chiefs started the second half with a flag, too, a hold on the kick return, but things got better from there. A handful of nice plays, plus a Washington penalty, set up another turn-back-the-clock moment for the future Hall of Famer.
Mahomes, off play action, looking right, now turning left, comes back right, now dumps it, he's got a man wide open at the 40, the Commanders, at the 30, at the 20, a check down throw, it's Travis Kelce, all the way down to the Commander 10-yard line on a check down throw of 37 yards to Kelce.
The fountain of youth has been good to Travis Kelce this season. He looks like it. Rice got near the 2 on 2nd and goal, another near score for Rashee Rice. Then offsetting penalties reset him for a second shot on 3rd and goal. Something went wrong on a target to Noah Gray. The Chiefs kept the offense on the field for 4th down.
Snap to Mahomes, retreating, moving to his right. Now pump faking, throws it late, wide open, touchdown! Kansas City, Kareem Hunt has his 18th receiving touchdown! The Chiefs take the lead on the 2nd touchdown of the night for Kareem Hunt.
The kickoff was muffed out of bounds by Jalen Lane, leaving the Commanders to start from inside their own 2-yard line, but it only took 2 plays for Mariota to find McLaurin for 18. On 3rd and 5, Mariota tried for Lane and was nearly tipped up and intercepted by Brian Cook, but neither Lane nor Cook could reel it in. That led to the first punt of the night. The Chiefs marched across midfield in two plays, a 10-yard run by Pacheco, a 24-yard pass to Smith-Schuster. There was a fumble scare from Rice, who recovered his own loss after a nice gain. Then Mahomes went with quick throws to Rice and Worthy before making even more history with Travis Kelce.
Mahomes takes the snap at his left knee, keeping the feet alive. Zings it late for the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! And Travis Kelce with the catch now ties Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns in Kansas City Chiefs history. A 10-yard strike, and the Chiefs have that coveted second-half two-possession lead.
That was a huge moment in the game and yet another record book moment for Travis Kelce. The Commanders got going again with a 25-yard deep shot to McLaurin, but after a couple really nice defensive plays, well, then the Chiefs got a big one.
Our Chiefs are pressuring Mariota. He's sacked! And down he goes, Mike Dana with the sack. He had the interception to start the game, and now he sacks Mariota all the way back at midfield. A loss of 9.
That knocked the Commanders out of field goal range. They punted it back to begin the fourth quarter. I'll tell you what, the fourth quarter flew by. The Chiefs had a few nice plays. A penalty wiped one out. A sack made it harder. But on 2nd and 17, Mahomes hit Rice for the first. Then a taunting penalty on Rice, questionable depending on what he was trying to do with the football there, moved him back after getting that first down. Chunk plays from guys like Pacheco, Gray, and Rice kept him rolling. Mahomes was cooking. The run game looked good. Didn't it feel like Rashee Rice was overdue to get into the end zone?
Mahomes in the pocket, pump faking, twice, throws it late, caught, left side, Rice angling, touchdown, Kansas City, an 18-yard touchdown pass.
The Chiefs defense then stood tall and forced a 3-and-out. Yes, the Commanders punted from around midfield with 7 minutes left, down by 21 points, effectively a white flag. From there, the Chiefs were more interested in running out the clock than trying to score, and for good reason. Matt Araiza made his first punt of the night with just over 2 minutes remaining in the game. The Commanders limped to the end offensively, and ultimately there was just one more act to finish the play.
Moving to the right side is Mariota, just missing. Gelati just missed him, and it's intercepted, it appears. There's a pickoff. The Chiefs get an interception. Jack Cochran gets the pick.
That was that. The Kansas City Chiefs win and rise to 5-3 on the season with a 28-7 victory over the Washington Commanders.
You're listening to the exclusive home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Mahomes off play action, looking right, now turning left. Comes back right, now dumps it, he's got a man wide open at the 40, the Commanders, at the 30, at the 20, a check down throw, it's Travis Kelce all the way down to the Commander 10-yard line on a check down throw of 37 yards to Kelce.
That was a sweet play by the greatest to ever do it. Today's sweet play of the game is brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard, home of the 87 Concrete. A portion of every 87 Concrete sold supports Travis Kelce's 87 and Running Foundation. Hurry into Andy's today and collect both 87 Concrete souvenir cups before they're gone. Let's hear one more interview and go back to the defensive side tonight. Relatively quietly, I think, Brian Cook is putting together a nice season. He's had a lot put on his shoulders by Steve Spagnuolo. Shamari Connor's playing a lot. Jaden Hicks was out there a lot tonight. But I really do think Brian Cook has been one of the underrated pieces of what's made this defense hum. After the game, our own Dannon Hughes caught up with Brian Cook.
All right, thanks, guys. Here with Brian Cook. Brian, another great display by your defense. I mean, things were a little bit shaky early in the game, but it seems like you guys kind of tightened the screws up and got things done.
Yeah, the team together, made some corrections in the defensive room, obviously during halftime, and then came out there just at the end of the day, we just got to communicate and trust one another, and what you've seen is basically the product of that. So excited for my guys, excited to see how we can keep this thing rolling. Got a nice tough battle this next weekend, so looking forward to. to that as well.
So one thing I noticed about the defense, specifically with your position, is that you were playing more center field in the past, and now you're playing a little bit more closer to the line of scrimmage. Is that an adjustment that you like? You like to be kind of closer to the action as opposed to being deep?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I play more in the box in college, but I just do whatever the team needs me to do. Whether it's playing the post or playing man to man, it don't really matter to me. You know, I'm gonna feel, I'm gonna do whatever I can to help the team win.
Seems like the Commanders came out early, no huddle, tempo offense, a little bit of a challenge early. Speak to that adjustment. I mean, is it the communication on the sideline? Is it more so as the action is going, where you guys recognize you're moving backwards a little bit more than you'd like, and you have to tighten some things up?
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of sound like a boxer. You know, it's like trying to throw a counter but moving backwards. You know what I'm saying? So coach kind of got on our tails about being able to communicate and then showing pressure looks or, you know, showing different looks to the quarterback while still in that no huddle realm, because, you know, for them, they're trying to move fast, but if we can get them to think a little bit now, like that counter punch, you know, as far as moving backwards for our analogy, kind of come to play for us. So he was able to do that. At first it was a little bit of struggle. I mean, obviously, you know, tape is different than obviously game, but he was able to get it done, so I'm excited about that.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Chief Safety Brian Cook with Dane and Hughes after the game. Tonight's postgame report is powered by Flight by Yingling. Just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. We'll take one more timeout back here in the studio. When we come back, we'll break down the injury report, and I'll share a few final thoughts about this game before we hear the final words from Mitch Holthus. That's what's on the docket the rest of the way right here on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Wake up tomorrow morning with Fesco and Dusty right here on 96.5 The Fan.
From what we heard from Andy Reid, it seems like good news for the Chiefs on the injury front. Here's your Chiefs injury report brought to you by St. Luke's. For game day minor mishaps, get same-day care with St. Luke's convenient clinics or video visits so you won't miss a single play. Learn more at stlukeskc.org/same-day-care. Andy Reid mentioned at the end of the press conference, usually he'll do it at the beginning, especially like I'm reading between the lines here. I'm reading the tea leaves. But if Andy Reid had the injury update there at the very end, and it sounded like we heard plenty from Nick Bolton after the game. Nick Bolton had some sort of knee issue. Isaiah Pacheco, we saw and heard on the broadcast the knee question for him. He went over and had a pretty quick scene on the sidelines with the trainers and looked like he wanted to go back into the game, which, of course, was insane. There was like 3 minutes left. But It seems like those are both pretty minor things. As of right now, knee stuff's tricky. Maybe it swells. Maybe you get home and you feel it in the morning and they need to go in for an MRI or whatever it ends up being. But as of right now, the information that we heard from Andy Reid, Pacheco and Bolton have relatively minor knee things, and we're on to Buffalo. That was the only injury of note from the head coach. That's a very good sign with a very big game just around the corner. My final thought for this is, I think, going to echo some things we talked about at the beginning with Mitch and then after. What I was impressed about with this game is that it was not set. The narrative of the game had not been decided at halftime. You know, well, yeah, Joshua, obviously, it was 7-7. But we've had so many of these games, thinking back to just Jacksonville on Monday night just a few weeks ago. You have these games where the energy gets a little bit weird, the execution gets a little bit sloppy, things snowball, stuff starts happening, and you start wondering in the third quarter, oh man, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win or lose, but they're definitely going to let this team hang around, right? Well, it wasn't all pretty. It never happened in the first quarter. It didn't happen in the second quarter. But the Chiefs did put the distance between themselves and, I say this humbly, a lesser opponent. A version of the Washington Commanders with Marcus Mariota, who I think did plenty of impressive things tonight for what it's worth. Instead of Jaden Daniels, who is the guy they've built this franchise around and who was so, so excellent for them last year. You have to be able to put that distance between yourself and whoever you're going up against if you get that sliver of light. This league is too good. It's too closely packed. These teams are too good. You have 30, so I think on any given Sunday or Monday or Thursday, could give any other team a real game. And I might even need to include the Jets, because even they got their first win of the season. There are no undefeated teams. There are no winless teams remaining in the NFL. What you have to do in moments like what the Chiefs were facing tonight is go into half, tied at 7, disappointed by what the scoreboard says, and then you come out, you put up 21 unanswered points in that second half, and you let Washington chase while you set the pace. A really excellent half of football for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great stuff on offense and defense. Special teams, even by and large, did their part tonight. The Chiefs get the win. They're going to 5-3. Still work to be done in the AFC. Still work to be done in the AFC West. And a huge game against the Buffalo Bills coming up on Sunday. That'll do it for us back here in the studio. After the break, we go back to the stadium for final thoughts from the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, right here on the Chiefs Radio Network.
This broadcast is copyrighted by the Kansas City Chiefs Football Club at Odyssey, Kansas City. All rights to this broadcast are reserved, and any rebroadcast, recording, transmission, posting, dissemination, or other use of this broadcast without the expressed written consent of the Kansas City Chiefs Football Club at Odyssey is prohibited.
The Chiefs with a dominant second half performance. The game was tied 7-7 at halftime, but the Chiefs defense did not give in to the Commanders offense on the first three drives of the game, which 15 of 22 plays went into Chiefs territory. But in those three Commander possessions, they got no points. Game still tied at halftime 7-7. The Chiefs number one in the league in the fewest giveaways coming into tonight, had two in the first two drives, but in the second half, it changed dramatically, and I will give you some of the stats later, including two historical stats here that are noteworthy. Three, actually. One personal one. 28-7, Chiefs get the victory over the Commanders to win 4 out of 5 and to go 5-3. Executive producer Eric Townsend, Nate Wetmore, a field engineer. He's taking it to another level, too. Steve Cook, Travis Schlinger, Adam Smith, assistant field engineers. Derek Nestor, studio director. Bobby Gilliland, master control. Nick Springer, segment producer. Instant replay, Alex Grimes. A.J. Engel, the production assistant. All week long, super help to me personally. He's going to be big tomorrow when Monday and Tuesday is all the same day. Bill Ratner, Roberta Solomon, studio announcers. Bernie Haney, gone to another level. Dude's going all pro on me. A statistician. Spotter tonight, Brian Holthus, outstanding again. The basketball coaches and the old All-State quarterback, terrific job this year. Stratton Munsterman, parabolic operator, along with Adam Strope. Dustin Hilton, our studio engineer. Shotgun Jackson, the studio custodian. Derek O'Dell, general sales manager for sports. Lynn Greenemeyer, sales department assistant. Dan Fatino, traffic director. Joanne Blackwell, affiliate relations. Brand manager, Steven Spector. Operations manager, J.R. Ammons. And Roxanne Marotti, at the top of the organization chart, outstanding leader, senior vice president, and market manager. The entire staff of Odyssey worked so very hard all week long. The largest network in the National Football League. It's really 12 months that we work on this. Now, let me give you some stats here that I think are noteworthy. I already mentioned the Chiefs' defense holding the fort in the first half when it could have been Chiefs down by 21-7. But in the second half, Patrick Mahomes went off 17 of 19 in the second half after struggling in the first half with those two interceptions early. But the Chiefs had 39 plays in the second half, 250 yards, 15 first downs, 3 touchdowns, and broke the game open to win 28-7, again, 3 straight TDs. And also Kareem Hunt, a touchdown receiving and a touchdown running in this game. But the Chiefs get 28 points again. Fifth time, fifth straight game the Chiefs have had 28 or more points. That's third most in Kansas City Chiefs history. But the defense might have the stat of the night because the Commanders had the longest streak in the NFL, 24 straight games with 17-plus points. They get 7 tonight, 7. This is a Commander team that had Deebo Samuel back, Terry McLaurin back, big plays all over the place, number one in the league in runs of 20-plus and 10-plus. They get 7 points. Also, congratulations to Travis Kelce, his 83rd touchdown. That ties Priest Holmes' all-time record. That record has stood for 20 seasons. So, Kelce, we've been waiting for that 83rd. He got it tonight. Chiefs win it 28-7, short week. It's already Tuesday, and we're getting ready to go to Buffalo for a Sunday late afternoon game, which will be the biggest game in the league again. Be sure to join us tomorrow night on our Tuesday edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show, Dante Hall is going to be with us. We're at the Hy-Vee in Raytown tomorrow night as we bring in the X Factor. Always fun to have him. That'll be tomorrow night on these network stations. We'll also hear from Coach Reed and, again, Dante Hall tomorrow night. For Danon Hughes, Josh Klingler, and Joshua Briscoe, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, 28-7 Kansas City. Thanks for listening on the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network.
Tonight's Flight by Yingling postgame show was presented by Flight by Yingling. Just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
Brought to you by GEHA, proud health plan partner of federal employees and the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Chiefs football. It's the only place in Kansas City where you'll hear from Andy Reid on Monday, Patrick Mahomes on Tuesday, and Players Only with Danon Hughes, Thursdays starting at 6, right here on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.